This is LI in the AM with Jay Oliver. News, traffic, weather, and more. 1039 LI News Radio.
Are you ready for a little off the record, on the record? And that can only be done with my partner for all this. His name is Joe Campolo. That's right, the great Campolo, Middleton and McCormick. You know about them. We talk about them every morning. Three locations. We're on Concord Bridge, Hampton, newly formed in Westbury. The aforementioned Joseph Nicholas Campolo, managing partner of the great firm. Sir, how are you?
Yeah, I'm doing terrific. How about you?
I am well. Your Mets have convened in Port St. Lucie. The rite of spring hopes eternal, if I said that right. But in essence, you know, I don't know if you heard the latest. Steven Matz, Noah Syndergaard on the disabled list already.
Yep. I still have egg on my face from when I called it early last year on your show, Jay.
Listen, I'm only kidding about Matz and Syndergaard. But you know something? Hope does spring eternal, so hopefully some good stuff happening, both teams. I like what they've done so far, and I think it'll be fun. I really do. It's going to be a fun year.
Yeah, hopefully there's some competitiveness there. Hopefully a New York team. For goodness sakes, so we got St. John's. That's what we have right now to hang our hats on in New York.
I know. It's terrible. Really, it's terrible. And don't forget the Islanders. I tell you, Laura Kern doing a nice job commissioning the proposal for the Islanders to play at least round one over at the new Coliseum there. Good stuff there. So we got the Islanders who are on their way to some good things, hopefully, in the postseason. We'll see.
New York needs something, man.
Something, I'm telling you. All right, let's go over. Let's see what's happening here. Let's start out with, and Joe and I decipher some of the hot topics over the last week or so. And, of course, the Amazon debacle kind of leading the way, Joseph. I was a little bit vocal, not going with the norm of many, that this was a tough one for New York, the losing of jobs and everything else. I kind of took an opposite end of the approach. I thought it was strictly about de Blasio and the governor who wanted the bragging rights, the Amazon national competition, whatever you want to call it. Quite frankly, I just thought they had overpaid and everything else. I can get into that, but give me your take on things regarding Amazon.
Here's my take on it, and that is that the governor, his only chance, his only hope at redeeming himself with New York businesses, Jay, was to get Amazon into Long Island City. He may have another opportunity, but it's never going to be as national. It's never going to be as public. And any national aspirations he had, I think, died with Amazon and that deal dying. You can't have an administration like he's had where you break the backs of businesses, you force the increase of the minimum wage so the manufacturing sector is hurt, you impose paid family leave so that any size business has to give people paid family leave when they're going to have children, male or female. All of that, you as a small business owner, you can't really swallow it too well, but what are you going to do? Okay? But what people have to realize is that all makes sense if you are growing the pie. If you are adding high-quality jobs, if you are growing the pie and alleviating the tension and the burden for everybody equally. And you only do that by adding a lot of high-quality jobs. And that's what Amazon would have given New York City and New York State, high-quality jobs. People that, I was reading these articles and all these local politicians were saying, why is Amazon getting this break? It's the dry cleaner on the streets of Long Island City that needs the break. Well, the dry cleaners aren't going to be there if people aren't there to drop off their suits and their clothes. It's a trickle-down effect that's going to raise everybody up. That's the way, in my mind, that it works. And it's an embarrassing shame. We could have brought technology. So we talk about the Hopog Industrial Park being the second largest industrial park next to Silicon Valley. Well, Long Island City, if Amazon had landed there, Long Island City could have been a huge hub. It could have outgrown what Silicon Valley's been able to do in terms of attracting businesses, because you got Brooklyn, you got Brooklyn Tech, you got all these facilities right there, and they just really, it was a colossal, colossal blunder. I agree with you. From the beauty pageant to the beginning, to the way it handled at the end, to the mayor and the governor not being able to get along, to the governor not being able to get people in his party to get along with it and get on with it. It was such a disgrace all across the board, I think. And you know what? That's going to hurt Long Island City, and I hope those constituents remember that. Socialism does not work. It doesn't work, okay? It only works if it's from the very beginning of inception. The minute capitalism has been sparked, it's never going to work. You're not going to be able to help those small businesses without bringing in larger economic quantities to be able to trickle down dollars and flood those gates of those businesses. So it was a blown opportunity. It actually makes me sick to my stomach to think about it.
Well, you know, listen, I put the onus on Cuomo, if anything. And quite frankly, I think Bezos was fleecing Cuomo and fleecing de Blasio and doing it as rubes. You know, I really mean it. I mean, think about it. New York had to pay more to cover, you know, Amazon's added costs. We're using all union construction workers. And quite frankly, that was, you know, a lot of people... You know, what really went under the radar here, which I thought was egregious as anything, was this $505 million capital grant, as it was called, the governor offering the company so it could build using this union labor. And really, rather than addressing the high construction costs, Joe, that might deter any big company from investing in New York, you know, the governor wanted to kind of cushion the one favorite company against those costs. You know, to me... A little too much, you know, the $3 billion in subsidies, more so to me, the $5 million or so used for that. And quite frankly, I'm not really buying the whole 25,000, you know, jobs or so. You know, that to me, you know, it's not a big get as far as New York is. I mean, if you're offering to create those jobs a year, to me, it's a drop in the bucket of the city's employment growth over the last 11 years or so. And let's not forget also, you know, and I said this last week, you know, Google hired 10,000 or so people in New York, and that's without the subsidies, the massive subsidies involved. So, you know, to me, it was just about, in the end, the bragging rights. You know, they won the competition and everything else. Listen, it's likely that this company always wanted to come here. I mean, this is the... media and the finance capital of the world here. I mean, let's not forget that. So, you know, listen, New York had a lot to offer without the big offer that was on the table, at least in my opinion.
I know, but Jay, you know, to me, look, what do you do when you're a small business owner or any business owner, right? Bragging rights are important. You know, when you're meeting with a prospect, you lead off with, I represent Amazon, I represent Google. Okay, a state needs to be able to say that they were able to attract these businesses in order to be able to attract more businesses. We have an attrition problem where businesses are leaving New York State, okay? And you have a governor who made it his priority to impose more regulations on the backs of businesses here in New York State over the last 8 years. There was a chance to turn the corner. There was a chance to say, you know, yes, I imposed more regulations. Yes, I imposed higher payroll restrictions and higher administrative requirements, but I did it, and now I'm attracting bigger businesses. So see, my plan didn't hurt business. It helped business, and now we're attracting the Amazons, and now we're going to be able to attract more and more larger companies. Every salesperson in the world knows when you have blue chip names like that, it's easier to attract more businesses and more businesses, which is exactly what we need. It's exactly what we need. We need high-tech businesses here in New York. We don't need any more retail. We don't need any more financial services. We need high-tech manufacturing-type businesses here in New York. So it was a blown opportunity, but, you know, I can't disagree. I can't disagree that Amazon, you know, played their cards very well here. But, you know, and at the end of the day, I agree with Amazon. If you're not going to come into an environment that's friendly and welcoming and that wants you there, why come? Why come? It's just going to become a mess. You're going to be picketed. It's going to be hostile. It's going to be a pain in the neck. So, to me, totally blown opportunity. I think the governor is going to lick his wounds over this one for a while because it would have tied his whole plan up very, very nicely, and he would have been able to really get a national prominence. And you know what? Had he had any sort of relationship with the president, he could have called the president and gotten some help to be able to squeeze Amazon here, but that didn't happen either. So it was just a terribly blown opportunity, I think, for the state of New York.
Again, I put it all on Cuomo, Joe. I mean, this is a guy, you know, who I still think will throw a hat in the ring for 2020 at the White House. This would have been a feather in his cap, but this is a guy who's also supposed to be, you know, legendary, and that for his ability to deliver politically. I mean, even people who favor this whole Amazon deal should be angry about how incompetently he executed this. You know, listen, it's easy to blame Senator Michael Gennaris. It's easy to blame the city council speaker. What's his name? Corey Johnson, before announcing the deal back in November. What he should have done was maybe, you know, he should have had some sort of public buy-in, you know, from the key obstacles, Gennaris, Johnson, and let it play out that way. To me, he didn't handle it at all the proper way. We know about the failed policies of way back, losing millions and millions of dollars of marketing money to attract new businesses here and to throw over subsidies to those companies. It didn't happen. He didn't get a lot out of it. Listen, to me, it's just an incompetent way of going about it. You could say all you want about, you know, Michael Gennaris leading the way, and then the Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. I can't believe I'm actually siding with her on this one. But in essence, you know, to me, it just falls on Andrew Cuomo. Once again, he has dropped the ball. I'm sorry. This to me is on. And the one thing I don't want to see on Sunday is Bill de Blasio with Chuck Todd on Meet the Press. You know, all this stuff, the progressive left, how New York blew it, and, you know, when asked if he was setting himself for 2020 himself, now that's a possibility. My goodness, what are we coming to on all this? But in the end, I do agree on one thing, and that is, you know, listen, maybe New York didn't need Amazon, but it sure needed them to demonstrate that companies want to be here. I mean, that's the overall element out of this thing.
I totally agree. That's the tragedy. That's the tragedy of it all, is we had an opportunity. We finally had an opportunity in New York to show the world that we could attract a company here like Amazon, you know, and with all this negativity about the high taxes, the high cost of doing business here, that could have really turned the corner for New York. And I know the governor saw that. You could see that he saw that, and you could see the pain he's feeling from this monumental loss. And let me be clear, you know, it disgusts me. As a business owner, it disgusts me that Amazon gets, you know, as many benefits as it does when it wants to relocate into an area. I don't get those benefits, but I don't control that much revenue. I don't have the ability to affect that much on the local economy. It would have been a game changer for Long Island City, Queens, and the New York area economy for a company like that to come in, bring in all of those employees, just from construction to dry cleaning to groceries to retail. Everything would have been dramatically impacted there from that sort of company coming there. And that's where the tragic loss is. I'm not saying Amazon should get everything it wants whenever it wants to go anywhere it wants. No, but that's just the practicality of how you grow from an economic development perspective, is you have to give incentives for these companies to come here, because the amount of money they're going to push out, not just in tax revenue, but in local ecosystem spending, so that all the other businesses and the contractors and the retail stores all do much, much better. That's the whole point of it. And that's what was lost on everybody in this from a local perspective.
Joe Campolo, off the record, on the record. Let's move. We mentioned, you know, the White House and another man throwing his hat into the ring yesterday morning during the show, Joseph, and that was Bernie Sanders launching 2020 in his presidential bid. He's already raised millions. I tell you, Bernie's name rings large. You know, quite frankly, obviously, I don't think he'll have the same effect as he did a couple of years ago, being the only progressive in the race. You know, he had the stage to himself, and now he's got pretty much 11 others. Will he have an impact? Yes. I mean, I still think there are Bernie supporters out there. Quite frankly, you know, he's not the only guy with a free college tuition and, you know, the medical stuff coming through. Quite frankly, I think he's going to be lost a little bit in the sauce, but you know what? His message will still be out there, but not as decisively, I think.
Yeah, Bernie Sanders in 20, you know, 15, 2016, when he was running his primaries, was new. He was fresh. He was, you know, he was saying an old message, but he was saying it in a different way. He had a platform. He had a following. The timing was right for certain folks to hear his message. And he was exciting. I enjoyed watching Bernie Sanders' campaign. I thought it was quite despicable what the Clinton machine was able to do to him. I was disgusted by that whole thing because he did a grassroots movement, what our country has been founded on, a democracy, and whether you agree with what his message is and what his, you know, the people who followed his messages or not, it doesn't matter. That's what democracy is about. He was a fair guy. It was a fair fight. He was doing a grassroots movement, and he got chewed up by the Democratic machine, which really turned me off to the Democrats at that point, the way that they did that. What he did, though, was he created an avenue for all of these progressives now to come out, and their message isn't that new anymore. It's not that new. It's not that fresh. And honestly, they should be – I don't know that Bernie should be throwing his hat in the ring. I mean, he's 77. He's going to be 78. I really feel like these other younger progressives that are sort of channeling and modeling what he was able to do should be looking for him to endorse them and back their campaigns, and he should be backing those folks as well. You know, it shouldn't be a situation where he's out running. I think he's just not going to get the following that he had because there's too many people saying what he was saying back when it was new and it was fresh.
I agree. And listen, you're right. He should be backing others. Listen, the ticket, if you're going to beat Donald Trump in 2020, Joe, to me, here's the magical ticket. It's Joe Biden / Kamala Harris. I mean, that to me is going to ring large. That's how you combat the Trump administration here. That's how you can kind of tackle it. You know, when Biden will announce, you know, he will. That'll be soon. Well, the Harris, you know, goes over to the Biden camp, yet to be seen. But that's how the Democrats could win. To me, Sanders is being somewhat selfish here. He had his run. He's 77. Listen, he's not going to make it to the finish line. He's going to get a lot of play. He's going to get a lot of people, you know, the young progressives. I get it. But in essence, you know, to me, he takes away from the party. You know, it's the same thing as the Starbucks guy. You know, it's the same thing with Kurtz. You know, it's like, don't throw your hat in the ring. You're only going to take away votes from those who have a chance. That's what happens in these types of situations. You know, yeah, you have a crowded field beyond. You're probably going to have, you know, have 20 people when it's all said and done. But really, the two participants in order to beat Trump is going to be Biden Harris. That's your ticket right there. Sanders, to me, is just, you know, listen, he's just doing it to get applause and everything else. Why not me? I could do it again. So I had a great run. I knocked out Hillary, the whole thing. Well, not this time around.
Yeah, I two things. One is I think you're absolutely right. Biden and Kamala Harris are the ticket that has to be put up by the Democrats if they have any hope in beating Donald Trump. I just don't think any of these younger senators on their own, Cory Booker, Kamala Harris, I don't think they're going to be able to headline it as president. I think they are, and I think they're smart. I think they are playing to be the vice presidential nominee is where I think they're playing should Joe Biden throw his hat in the ring, and I think that announcement's going to be coming very soon. The question is you know, is Joe Biden going to be able to have the endurance to be able to carry the ticket? He's up there in age himself, but I think that's probably the best bet as we see it now for the Democrats having any sort of shot at attacking Trump. You know, Bernie Sanders, the second part of Bernie Sanders is he's a little tarnished. He was very effective in 15-16, going against the establishment, going against people lining their pockets from privilege and eliteness. And then, you know, he has this whole Burlington College thing that's sort of dogging his wife around, and there's some unanswered questions there, and they've looked into it, and there were some questionable things. And that, you know, that's enough, I think, to just knock him out of the race where he should just be advising people at this point. He should be, you know, Uncle Bernie, the guy who blazed the trail for these young progressives. You know, AOC is not going to be where she is today in Congress headlining everything that she's headlining. Had it not been for Bernie Sanders, the Dems just would have never gone in that direction. The Clintons were moderate, and Hillary would have kept a moderate party. But that's where Bernie Sanders came in. So I think the elder statesman is the right role for him.
I agree. No doubt about it. Joe Campolo, the fine managing partner, Campolo Middleton McCormick. Joe, we'll do one more before a quick break. And that is, you know, the 16 states now leading the way with a lawsuit going against Trump and his declaration, national emergency. We know the deal. You know, it's, listen, call it coincidence. The 16 states led by 16 attorney generals who happen to be Democrats there. And, of course, the latest news now, a little bit of retribution going against the Golden State in California. We know how Gavin Newsom has been at odds with the president, the governor of California. The administration now wants the money back regarding a rail system and everything else. So it's going to get quite ugly here before it gets better here with these 16.
Yeah, I mean, the lawsuits are a ploy, right? They're just a political ploy. The states have no shot at winning some sort of lawsuit based on how the president decides to spend money that's been earmarked for the United States Department of Defense. It's going to be an interesting lawsuit. Look, this is – so when they talked about, you know, the Supreme Court picks and the fights that went on with these Supreme Court picks – you know, the mistake they made with the Supreme Court justices is they focused on the wrong issues. This was the right issue. And the right issue is this is a constitutional challenge. And I love this stuff, Jay. I love this stuff more than anything. This is exactly what I love to watch. And that is, what is the presidential authority under the Constitution versus congressional authority? And that's where the Supreme Court is specifically positioned to determine these things. How much authority does the President of the United States have under one provision of the Constitution versus Congress under another provision of the Constitution? And this goes all the way back to Youngstown Steel. This goes all the way back to steelworkers wanting to strike while there's a war going on and a president declaring that they're not able to strike and moving and declaring national emergencies and being able to order things and money being spent irrespective of what Congress had wished, because it was in the national interest. That's the issue that's going to be going on. None of that has to do with any of the states. I don't know what they're doing. As much as I supported and appreciated Letitia James becoming Attorney General of New York State, she said she wanted to sue him. I don't even understand how that impacts or affects New York State whatsoever. There is no border here. So what would the lawsuit be? I don't understand that. But what we're going to see, and this is where a Neil Gorsuch and a Brett Kavanaugh and a Chief Justice Roberts, this is where they become really, really critical, because they have in the past written decisions that give the president expansive powers, meaning in times of national security, in times of crisis, you need to have one voice is what their positions have been, one person who's deciding where to allocate resources or troops. And so the debate, I think, is going to be, is it a national emergency or not? And that becomes a very, very difficult decision. Who gets to decide when there's a national emergency? Is it the president? Is it Congress? Is it the Supreme Court? That's the big question that's going to be decided, and it's going to be fascinating, fascinating to watch. It really is.
And where the money is going to come from, which category, military, disaster zones. You know, we have seen areas devastated over the last couple of years, and money that may be not being directed to those specific areas. Talking about Puerto Rico, for instance. You know, there's a lot of questions involved here. But to me, you know, listen, it's the bottom line here with the president trying to save face, you know, not shutting down government again after 35 days. We saw what that was all about. We had enough of the soup kitchens and everything else, pantry lines, airport debacle, planes not being allowed to come in on time. You couldn't have that round two, could not have that. President had a safe face here, do what he did for his base. We know the deal, promised the wall. The 55 miles, the 1.4, actually less money than it was a couple of years ago, remember, 1.6 billion or so. He had enough money way back. He had more money on the table back then. But you know something? It comes down to this. It's the president trying to save face. And listen, we've got a problem. We have to fix other ways. Listen, I understand the wall, and there is need for something. We can't allow people to come into this country illegally anymore as we did in the past. Too many problems. I pointed out all time after time, Too many illegal aliens in here creating havoc, crimes. The Nevada couple, 80 years of age, killed by an illegal alien. I can name you 10 incidents, Joe, where this goes on. There has to be an issue solved here. The Unaccompanied Minors Act, over and over again. How many times do I have a politician of the ilk of a Peter King or a Lee Zeldin? When is that going to be fixed? It's been talked and bandied about, the MS-13 stuff, over and over again, yet nothing cemented. When are we going to fix that problem? You know, I understand you want your wall and everything else, but we've got other issues to solve here that can be finalized if we do it right on Capitol Hill.
Yeah, I agree. And look, you touched on it, and I just want to circle back to the California, you know, problem that they're having. Now, this is the challenge, you know, this is the challenge when state people decide that they're going to start to really try and give a lot of pressure to the president, and then the president pushes back. I mean, I don't know if a lot of people read the article this morning. I think it was in this morning's Wall Street Journal was reading it, but, you know, the state of California had gotten earmarked, I guess, you know, tens of billions of dollars to do a high-speed rail system from L.A. to San Francisco. Federal dollars. And the state of California was Governor Brown's brainchild. State of California has done everything they possibly can do to disrupt President Trump. Everything he does, they look to challenge. And President Trump finally says, well, enough's enough. I'm taking away your money. Now, I don't know whether he could do that or not, but he's taking away billions of dollars that they had earmarked for this. And now the people of California lose. You know, and this is what happens when government becomes a competition, when government becomes a blood sport. The constituents lose. And voters have to understand that at the end of the day, there's going to be an impact. Yeah, it's fun, and you can post on social media, and you can rant, and you can rave, but there are immediate economic impacts when the President of the United States pulls tens of billions of dollars out of your state that was supposed to be for infrastructure spending. What we need to do is get away from this pettiness. You know, I think people are starting to realize that a slyly worded tweet that can irk somebody has some real economic consequences. And what we need to be doing, Jay, is getting people off social media, getting them in rooms, and getting them figuring out how to solve problems. You know, now you have California and the president, and the people of California are going to suffer because of what the president just did in what he figured was his best response to the way California has been dumping all over him. So there's a lot of challenges.
No doubt. California voters approving this project, by the way, 10 years ago, and the federal grant money approved about 8 years ago. But, you know, listen, you have a problem with the governor now, this Gavin Newsom, who took the reins from Brown. And, of course, you know, they're at odds, Newsom and Trump. You're right, social media. Listen, the way to do it is to take away the president's cell phone. I mean, that's how you get it done. I mean, the tweets, the one thing you could say with Trump is the tweets have just gotten him in hot water beyond for the last couple of years. You know, he was told to stop, and he just continues and continues and continues. So that is a major problem. Joe Campolo with us. We'll take a short one, Joe. We'll come right back. More hot topics right after this. The record on the record, the great Joseph Nicholas Campolo, managing partner of the great firm, Campolo, Middleton, McCormick, three locations now. Don't forget Westbury and Nassau. So they be becoming island-wide and island-powerful. Joe, a couple of more topics before we get in some of the CMM happenings. You know, I want to get to the, you know, I'm going to throw one in, this whole Jussie Smollett deal. You know, the latest news this morning, Joe, that Smollett apparently, 10 years ago or whatever it was, a DUI, and try to cover it up with lies and whatnot, try to use his brother's name involved here. You know, I tell you, the pattern is not good. For Jussie Smollett and, you know, setting everything up on this attack. Did he send the letter himself to the studio regarding a racist remark? You know, obviously retribution of some sort way back for him. Thus, the setup, the two Nigerian bodybuilders. The noose being bought at a local hardware store, the brothers being interviewed. It doesn't look good for Smollett. I don't care who he has. He can get definitely Bailey and whoever else. Mark Geragos, I mean, quite frankly, to me, Garagos, one of the best in the business. He's got his hands full here if he's going to defend this guy. If this comes out, and this guy should be prosecuted to the fullest extent of every law possible for what he has done in this alleged setup. If that's the case, Joe, throw the book at him. It's a felony. I want to see him do some time here. The resources involved in Chicago and everything else, you know, the other hate-type situations that could have been perpetrated because of this situation, this false situation. And quite frankly, the flag was raised in the beginning for me. If you are attacked, as you say you were, you will give authorities everything they need to find the perpetrators. Did not want to hand over his cell phone for some cockamamie reason. I'm sorry. Hand it over. The whole thing stinks, and we'll see what happens with Garagos, Joe.
Yeah, what a colossal tragedy across the board if this guy set this up. I mean, it's a tragedy already because, you know, the breadcrumbs are leading in a direction that make him look very disingenuous, no matter what it is. But what a colossal tragedy and what a blow to civil rights and civil liberties across the United States for everyone. Absolutely for, you know, for everyone. For gay, Muslim, black, for whites. You know, it's absolutely incredible. I can't even fathom it. As this story's been unfolding, and I've been talking about it all week, as the story's been unfolding, I find it incredible. I find myself being like, it can't possibly be that this guy did this. It really can't possibly be. But unfortunately, the facts are unfolding that it looks like he did. You know, it looks like he did stage this. I don't understand that, Jay. He's got a real problem. I completely and wholeheartedly agree with you. This is not a publicity stunt. If this is found out to have been fabricated, this guy should be prosecuted to the full extent of the law. There are so many people, so many good people, not-for-profits, lawyers, groups out there working to protect people's civil liberties, to protect their civil rights every single day. And this guy hurts it so bad. He takes that movement and he takes two steps down. It's like chutes and ladders going down a chute. If this guy concocted this this scheme, it's unbelievable to me.
To mention, the three of them seem maybe by a witness all in an elevator before this thing. I mean, come on. And by the way, you know, for once, I'll take my hat off to Al Sharpton, who, you know, came out vehemently against Smollett saying, listen, if you fabricated this thing, fullest extent of the law, my friend, that you will be prosecuted. I like what Sharpton had to say. You don't hear him say that. He's usually on the defense of some of these victims like this right off the bat, no matter what. I like what Al Sharpton did. Maybe he's growing up before our eyes. Who knows? But, you know, the fact of the matter is, you know, listen, it stinks, this whole story. And quite frankly, you know, listen, when is the end all to all this? It seems like they have all the information. We'll see. Can't go the full way yet. I get it. But it certainly looks like, and a good job by Empire, the show, cutting back the lines, at least, of Jussie Smollett. Listen, they smell a rat themselves. They don't want to put themselves in hot water. So the studio doing a good job as far as script and storylines for Jussie Smollett there.
Yeah, and hats off to the police department for being very careful in investigating this in a very professional way. They've been very careful what they have to say. You know, other politicians jumped on the bandwagon. I think that they're going to pay for that. I think Cory Booker, Mr. Spartacus, jumped on the bandwagon right away. People have to learn, you know, particularly in a world now where social media, where news moves at such a rapid pace, where facts are not really verified and everything moves, everybody has to be much more careful in how they react to things, you know, and this is a perfect example of how you have to let the system play out. You have to let an investigation take place. You have to figure out all the facts because there's always two sides to every story. You got to figure it out, and then you can take a position. But these politicians that really jumped on the bandwagon, and I agree with you, Al Sharpton was very careful with his response, and he was correct in what he said at the end of it.
No doubt about it. So we'll see how it plays out. Joe Campolo off the record, on the record. Let's move to our old friend here, Andrew Cuomo. Once again, some updates to his executive budget financial plan. Of course, you know, listen, Joe, we spoke yesterday regarding, You know, one of the things that a lot of people don't like, I certainly don't, you know, the slashing of the AIM funding, that is, you know, the aid and incentives for municipalities. Long Island's going to be hit pretty hard on this. You know, I know Friday he announced an amendment that would restore the money through internet sales taxes, which to me, I don't like either. I'll tell you why. But, you know, you look at Nassau, they have an estimated, deficit of nearly $60 million controlled by NYFA. Won't be able to give the money to towns or villages. Tough one. Suffolk affected as well. This is just another way of a failed leader who can't, you know, somehow accumulate his dollars the right way, has to cut it in other places. Long Island's going to be hit by this. Joe, a very tough thing. You look at the congestion tax he wants, you know, and if he doesn't get that, crying wolf last week, who knows, regarding the MTA and their 4% hike coming into play, you know, that's coming. I mean, right now, it is a very tough situation for Long Island folks here.
Yeah, at some point, the governor is going to realize that Long Islanders have a voice in this state. And at some point, Long Islanders are going to realize that we have a voice in this state as well. You know, we've been the redheaded stepchild of Albany now for too long. Sales tax is a problem. We understand that sales tax is a problem. Retail is dying. Big box retailers are dying. You know, Suffolk County here, we have a problem with sales tax. We have to get business people together in a room with our elected officials to figure out how do we creatively fill the void that sales tax has left in our budgets. You know, and the governor refuses, he absolutely refuses to consult with the business community on these issues. He's got so much hubris that he knows what's right. You know, he wants to be known as a great civil libertarian, the rights of the workers and everything else. That's great, but it only works when the tide is rising. It only works when the coffers are full. It only works when tax revenues are there, okay? Otherwise, what you're doing is you're increasing worker benefits, increasing the taxes on businesses, decreasing the revenues of businesses. Businesses leave the state. And that's the problem with this governor is he refuses to engage the business community and ask them for creative ways to solve this. Instead, he knows best. And he comes out with these grand, you know, he complains about President Trump, the way he just puts out these executive orders, but the governor's done the same thing as well. And, you know, shame on the Senate and shame on the Assembly. You know, it's a crying shame. You know, that what's amazing to me, Jay, is he had it right in trying to lure companies like Amazon here. He failed because he was unable to get his own party in line. He was unable to get his own party in line to be able to embrace it. That's failed leadership across the board. If you can't control your own party when you're the governor to bring in economic relief, then you're forced to look for new taxes. And that's exactly what he's trying to do now. Is okay, there's a whole new tax. There's a whole new tax. But he's not raising the revenue. So at the end of the day, it's only going to hurt businesses.
And Joe, I don't want to hear about the sales tax stuff. I mean, there's nothing left. I mean, listen, Ballone and Curran, county execs, Suffolk, Nassau, fought hard, vehemently, for the sales tax to be somewhat restored in their counties, prospectively, because, let's face it, internet spending, we know the deal, way up. Why shouldn't the island get a piece of it? Well, that is all going to go away. And quite frankly, you know, you look at Suffolk with debt service payments cutting into that whole mix of sales tax revenue. There's going to be nothing left. I mean, it is real. And by the way, speaking of that, can I get something from this county executive to vehemently sound off against this whole idea of AIM funding? I mean, being cut and everything. Can I get something from Steve Ballone? It seems like I get nothing from him. When Cuomo is stating something, I get nothing from Steve Ballone as far as maybe being against it. Goes along with everything. Hangs on to his coattails on every word. I'm still waiting for something regarding legalizing recreational marijuana. Still haven't gotten anything from this county executive yet. I want to hear something from the leader of Suffolk County stating, you know what? This can't happen. You can't cut into sales tax revenues. We've got nothing left here. I mean, can I get something from this leader?
I agree. There's nothing left, and what we need is leadership. And what we need are a united Suffolk County executive and Nassau County executive to push back on the governor. And I just don't see it happening. You know, I just don't see it happening. So it's going to be interesting. You know, you have John Kennedy coming out, and he wants to get the Republican nod, and he wants to take on Steve Ballone. And it's going to be interesting to see if he's going to be willing to push back on Albany on this issue. You take sales tax away, what, we're dead. We're dead here in Suffolk County. I don't know what else there is. I don't know how much more they can raise property taxes here. I don't know what other taxes they can impose on businesses here. I just don't know what it's going to do. So where is our leadership in all of this? Where are our assembly members, our Senate members? Why are we not taking this to Albany, and this fight to Albany is beyond me? And I agree with you. You know, I have a lot of respect for the county executives of both counties. I think they have tough jobs, and they're doing the best they can. But they need to fight. This is where they need to fight. This is where they need to say, you know what, it's not acceptable, and we're not going to accept this, and we need to fight. But there's no fight there anymore.
There isn't, and I'm losing a lot of respect for the guy who leads the way here in Suffolk week by week. I got to tell you, Joe, I had a lot way back. I'm losing it. I don't see leadership. That is a major problem. People leaving this county, the sales tax stuff, you know, all these fees on top of those other fees, you know, the latest nonsense yesterday with the civil service boss, you know, Schneider being ousted. 35 years, you know, I mean, you know, no rhyme or reason. Listen, I need answers here, and I need leadership. I'm not seeing it.
Seems like it's fear, Jay. It seems like they're just afraid to take a position against the governor because, like it or not, he's as vindictive as Trump is, if not more vindictive, and they're afraid he's going to take some aid away from them as well. So we need people who are going to look past that fear and fight for the people of Suffolk County and find strength that, if united, Suffolk County, Nassau County, we can be a very powerful block if the county executives unite us.
And let's face it, Bologna is going to fill his coffers come November with Albany. It's not coming from the PBA, at least at this point in time.
Right.
It's coming from Albany. So he's playing his cards that way, but he's using other things at stake here, and I don't like it one bit. 8:52, Mr. Campolo, just in time for some of the CMM happenings in and around. I tell you, sold out. We all knew that would happen. But the big deal coming regarding the winning, what would Jack Welch think of your management style? I tell you, that's going to be a good one on the 28th. Talk about that.
Yeah, so we're pretty excited about that. You know, it's all about most people, Jay, they live their lives, they run their business trying not to lose. We're different. Here at CMM, our philosophy is we want to win. You know, every day we want to get out there and we want to win. That's the point. And so I think that message has resonated with a lot of people. We sold out on this one. We're going to bring another one in because there is such a waiting list. So we're going to have another date where folks can sign up for it. And I think people want a message of winning, not of not losing. I mean, you can't play life not to lose. You have to get up every day and try and win.
Got to think positive. So that's a good one. You can call 73-9100. Learn more about that event and others, cmmllp.com. Then in March, the CMM Business Forum, Joe, a lot of money-saving strategies for the savvy business owner out there. You're going to be moderating a little discussion. How's that going?
Yeah, that's going to be great. So it's designed specifically for business owners to improve their cash flow, to grow. So we're seeing now, I mean, just this morning the markets are up, and it's time for, I think, business owners to reinvest back into their businesses. So we're going to be talking about some very important topics, increasing their cash flow, being able to get some financing, being able to use creative ways to cut down expenses like healthcare and reinvest back in their businesses. It's the most important thing we as business owners can do is invest in ourselves. So very important topics, you know, bread and butter topics that everybody needs to be a part of that's interested in growing their business.
No question. Wall Street at the 26th, Mark, who would have thunk that? 22, just a month and a half ago, so the rebound in place, no question. And then at the end of March, I love the East End Business Breakfast, leading your business the Marine Corps way, as the great JNC. You're going to present that in Southampton, right?
Yeah, very excited about that. We did that. A month or two ago here in Hop Hog. We got a huge, huge reception. We got a big demand for it out on the East End. You know, and all it is taking, you know, 10 of the Marine Corps principles of how the Marine Corps trains and motivates its Marines every day and incorporating them in your everyday business cycle to create a winning environment so that your business can be out there being productive. Look, Jay, at the end of the day, my firm belief, just so your listeners all understand this, my firm belief is the only reason we're here on this planet is to be as productive as we possibly can be. And in order to do that, you have to have a process. You have to stay motivated. You have to have mentors. You have to have a winning fighting culture. You have to be able to do those things. And so till my dying breath, I will be preaching to people that we must remain productive. It's our only way to peace, is to remain productive and keep our economy strong.
And that's why you have the firm that you do, my friend. And, you know, you're becoming island renowned, as we said, and people love you. So, you know, you're doing it right. And, folks, I tell you all the time, Campolo could be a template for how others operate, in my opinion. 738-9100. Call for more details on all these great events and check it all out online. CMMLLP.com. Is the office open in Westbury or is it March, Joe?
It's open, but we're having our grand opening March 1st. So we're getting it furnished. It's all sort of being decorated right now. March 1st is our grand opening date.
Sounds good. It's a week from Friday. Mr. Campolo, we'll see you in a couple. Great stuff as always, buddy.
Jay, have a good one, man. Thank you.